What's up, Toasters? We're back with another Toasty podcast this week, and we have one of our own on today. His name is Roy McKee.
McKee.
Long story short, we work together. He's a funny guy, and I figured we'd share a podcast about tattoos and what life is like inside a car dealership. So, let's get toasty. Cool. Well, podcast is over.
And that's all we need. It's a wrap.
Yeah, that's a wrap.
Earn that paycheck.
Dude, I wish I would paycheck. You want something? Anyone want something?
I'm good right now.
It's good, dude.
Put a mix it with my beer.
Yeah, awesome, there you go.
I need to start doing... So I did a wedding on Saturday for some folks.
Hold on, what do you mean by did a wedding?
I'm ordained.
Holy crap, for real?
I got ordained to do Tony's wedding.
Oh my gosh.
This is a whole other topic.
I remember him telling me that.
Really?
Because I almost couldn't get a hold of my pastor for a second.
What's it? Really? Like, and you were about to ask him?
I was close.
Dude, you called him like, here. I got a suit.
I mean.
Anything. I was close.
What?
I tell him just print out a script, and I put it in a little notebook, and I just read exactly what they want.
Put it in a little notebook? No one can tell? I'm just reading a script?
Dude. Just read right from it, make it easy.
Too easy.
What does it take to get ordained?
About $67 in 15 minutes online, if even that. It's not a lot.
Dude, how much did you... Okay, full disclosure, how much do you make from that? Like, can you make money from that?
Not a lot. I mean, most of... Here,
I'm not talking about, like, trying to price gouge these guys out here, but I just...
Most of the people have all been just friends of, like, my wife or the family. And so yeah. I just tell them, hey, if you want to pay me, pay me. But, like, this last one I did, there was maybe 15 people at the wedding total. Like, it was super low-key. It was last minute. The groom's mom apparently has, like, cancer, so they're like, we gotta get married. They've been living together for, like, 7 years.
And,
like,
oh, wow.
We gotta get married. So they're all nice people.
Dang.
You're already, like, basically married, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Seven so years. The whole ceremony lasted 6 minutes. Like, what I had to read was one page, and they gave me $80 for that. So I got $80 for about 5 minutes of work.
They're probably like, that's cheap. Could you talk to like photographers, photographers and everything? I haven't done it myself personally. Obviously, everyone I know has. And they're like, yeah, it's like $5,000 for this, $2,000 for that. And you're just like, what the heck, man? These people make a lot of money off this stuff. Okay, COVID weddings. Like, COVID weddings are probably a lot cheaper than normal weddings, which I would get. Like, if I had like a girlfriend, I was about to get married, I would have chosen to get married during COVID.
Yeah.
I would have done it because it's like, we can get out a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Really got my heart set on doing a really super, super gay wedding. And nobody's hit me up for that yet.
Super soft birthday party. Yeah. So, well, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool gig. I mean, it's just fun to do, I guess. But we played in a band. I get more nervous marrying people than I ever got playing music in front of people.
Yeah, because it's a bigger deal, right?
Yeah, you screw up a guitar solo or whatever. Eh, whatever, you just look like an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
You screw up a wedding, it's like, oh, these people will probably cry.
Yes, they will remember forever.
It's the day of the one day of their life or whatever, the most important day of the woman's life, you know?
Perfect.
The worst one was...
It's never perfect, though.
No. Some people that my wife knew, anyways, their son, he's pretty autistic. And he was quite rambunctious during the ceremony, and it was really hard to just, like, focus and power through it, and, boy, I got pretty rattled. It was pretty...
Dude, that's hard, man. Yeah, you don't... Yeah, you never know, you know?
It was weird.
It's a hard situation to be in, no doubt. Yeah, weddings, dude. Do you have any tattoos, Matt?
I have one.
You do?
No,
is it on your lower back? Everyone is always putting like, money on zero.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Is it on your lower back, you know?
Tramp stamp? Actually, yes. No, it's not. No, it's right here. It's a bear.
A bear?
So it's a bear on your like upper left chest.
Yeah.
Matt's undressing for us, so guys.
Oh, that's cool. It's like a silhouette.
It's a silhouette.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's like California Republic, though, you know?
It's not, though. Everyone says that. It looks like the bear on their flag, but
it's what it looks like.
Different. I got it when I was 19. Haven't gotten any other tattoos since. People are like, "Wow, you have a non-addictive personality." And I'm like, "I know. I don't
Dude, okay, so when I first decided I was going to get a tattoo, right?
Uh-huh.
Same thing. I had two in mind. I said, I want to do an awesome sleeve. This is the first when I first thought of it. I want to do an awesome sleeve, and I want to get a badass quote, and that's all I knew, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I got the badass quote, and then I was like, okay, now I got to get the sleeve. And I come up with some stupid thing or whatever that I did here, right? It's not stupid, but whatever. An actual good whatever idea, I guess, and I was like, done. Sure. But now I haven't even finished the sleeve yet, but I'm not like itching to go back. I want to because it's like it's unfinished, dude. This story on my arm is unfinished. That sucks.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about it.
I walked around with one unfinished piece for about 7 years. So
see,
this would the Raven was a nightmare.
You know how much time it takes? Like, I'm not trying to say sympathy. We want sympathy for tattoo guys, you know, or people that have tattoos. I'm just saying it does take a while, and you're trying to get in touch with an artist that has like. He's always booked, most likely, or she's always booked, or whoever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, man, but I want you to draw art on me.
If you're a good artist, you can get, you can make a lot of money, and you can get a lot of loyal customers because so many artists are super flaky.
Yeah, really no, that's really true.
They change their schedules. They move.
Oh my gosh.
They
bail on purpose, probably.
I know the lady who's done most of this arm. She just had a guy quit her studio and took all of his deposit money with him. He had like 8 tattoos deposits and just left the state.
What?
Took all the deposit
money.
And everything.
Do you want to like mention that so people can find him? Hey, this is...
Track him down.
No, don't do that. Okay. Not going to do that. Like sketchy Ohio situation right now.
He's way off.
I think that probably happens more often than you think. And it's just like, that's crazy, man. But when you find the good one, that's the reason it takes so long. You find the good one, and then you're like, I got to stick to this. Because they're sticking to me. They're like, well, they're sticking me with tattoos.
Yeah.
Well.
It's got to be.
Sticking me good. Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. But anyway, on that tattoo topic, basically, what I'm trying to get at here, I put a question out on Facebook to all the friends that I have, which is like 3, but it doesn't 60, matter.
Yeah.
And they said, basically, they were like, oh, at my job, every single one was basically at my job. They allow it, but they don't allow profanity. That's it. Mm-hmm. I had nurses tell me that. I had freaking people in customer service positions like we are tell me that. And I'm like, well, what are we doing out here? We work at a car dealership, and I get that it's a luxury brand. But I'm not sure, winter's tattoos, are they ever going to be a thing that's like standard or like we can be okay with it, showing them in public, you know, that kind of thing? You know what I mean?
When is the president going to have a sleeve?
Yeah.
When is that? Oh, well, that's crazy.
There. It's getting more lax. So.
We have a store director right now that has a sleeve, right?
Yeah.
He's the same one that would tell me to put my like covering sleeve on, which is whatever. That's my thing with it.
At my previous dealership I worked at. Even in the shop, like I only had some small pieces. I kind of had this guy here. I had some stuff on the end of my arm, but like just this, the state seal I have right here, I had to either wear a sweatband or sleeves to cover it up.
Yeah.
In the shop, working in the shop, I still had to cover it up.
Right.
So
my previous dealership was the same way still. And my previous dealership was more recent than your previous dealership, which means they're still doing it. And I was a tech, and they were like, you had to cover all that up with a Under Armour sleeve.
I mean, that's why I got mine where I got it, so I could cover it up without any hassle.
Well, it ended up being a desired thing anyway as a mechanic because, like, I didn't want to scrape it a lot and also heat anyway. So you're, like, wearing a sleeve. It actually came in handy a lot. But now I'm in a place where it's, like, we're allowed to wear polos. So if it's a luxury brand but we're wearing polos on the drive, that doesn't make any sense to me. But if we're allowed to do that, then I'm like, well, then who cares about tattoos? But it's like, oh, well, let's wear a sleeve anyway, right? To me, it should either be you're wearing long sleeve freaking button ups or long sleeve polos, period, or you're like, you know what I mean? Does it make sense? And we're in Texas.
Makes sense.
It's freaking hot, dude.
It's
hot.
You can't do that
all the time.
Most of the customers that I've had that whenever I'm like being a rebel are like, oh, that's cool. Or they look at it and they're like, what's that of? You know, they're asking me these questions, you know?
Yeah.
It's not stigmatized as much at all.
Not at all, man.
No. Nobody really sees it as like a threatening thing, you know?
I don't know. You know, it depends, right? It depends, right? You see our boy, our coworker, and he has neck tattoos, and he has little tattoos on his face, I think, right? Doesn't he?
Yeah, piercings on his eyebrow.
Piercings.
Yeah, I think.
It's Travis Barker. You know what I mean? And you're like, it does look threatening.
Another coworker, he has a tattoo on his neck. Not a big one, just a small one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He tried to go join the Marines, and they wouldn't let him because of that tattoo on his neck.
Really? So, see,
which
even...
Is, I don't know how many Marines I've seen
that have done that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. The one on his neck, they wouldn't let him in because of that.
It's because you can't cover it with a standard uniform. I wonder if it's just an entry point.
It's an entry thing.
No.
Because, like, dude, Marines probably go in clean.
You have to get tattoos. Any tattoo you get has to be approved by a CO.
Oh.
Most of the time they'll approve it, but they'll approve it if you can cover it up with a long sleeve uniform, right? Which they'll make you wear.
So you can't wear a freaking turtleneck.
There's no camouflage turtlenecks out there.
Yeah, that's a good point. So like literally neck and up.
But when there is a camouflage turtleneck, I will get one because that will be.
I mean, now with all the mask stuff going on, people are using those things as masks, which is fine. But it covers up your neck, right?
Dresses that have masks and stuff really? Like integrated. Yeah,
dude, you're telling me what, man?
It's a real thing.
You know, whenever we talked, oh my gosh, we had the freaking episode a long time ago, and we're like, it's gonna get political. Be careful. And next thing you know. It's like crazy political and everyone's freaking out. Yeah. And it's a long, drawn out thing.
So we were right about that. I was totally wrong when I said, I said like in, it was like December or January, I was like, COVID's not going to be a thing. It's like no big deal. It's just going to stay in China.
Everybody was saying it wasn't going to be a thing.
Yeah, it was earlier.
I heard a guy, you know what, whatever. He didn't care. I asked him if I could put on the show. It doesn't matter. Snap-on rep. He was like, you know what I believe? I actually believe that it was created. But it was only created for China itself because they needed to control the population in China. And I was like, that makes sense because they're communists and they would do something like that. I don't
see them being that crafty.
I don't think so?
I just see them going out there and just start killing old people.
He said his resource was he's not a factual guy. He didn't care about it. He wasn't like trying to be
on
point or anything like that. But he did say he was like, well, there was a Chinese doctor, apparently. China and said, hey, it actually was created, and it was for population control or whatever.
I didn't hear that it was for population control.
They missed it, and then he's like, and then Democrats just got a hold of it, and they were like, you know what? We need to use this for the election, which the last part is I believe in completely. Oh, I'm actually on board with that.
I've never seen anything wielded this politically.
It's crazy, ever. Right?
It's insane.
Now, the virus is a real thing, but also... What are we doing here? And yeah, you're right, man.
Yeah.
It's
everyone's like November 3rd, get ready. You know what I mean? I don't think that'll happen. I think it'll die off slowly because I think even Trump can't have it be that dramatic. You know what I mean? I think even him in office can't have it just cut off and be done. He can't have that.
Like the 2020 has been wild. There's been all kinds of stuff. December or the last 2 months after November, especially if Trump wins, I think we're going to see some just batshit.
Crazy shit, right? Because he's already like 2020 is crazy already. Let's start locking these guys up. Let's start going after child trafficking. Let's start going like ham.
I mean, how much crazy shit have the Democrats done just in the last 4 years trying to get Trump out of office?
Yeah.
And now it's a consistent push over and over. And it's going to be bad.
It's going to get wild.
But on the flip side of that, the last 4 years, everything Trump has done, he's done in a mindset of getting reelected. So he's done a lot, you know, he makes a lot of decisions based on, hey, this is going to look good for re-election. If he wins, we're going to have 4 years of Trump not giving a shit about getting re-elected.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be amazing, dude. He's
going to be dragging that orange sack across faces.
I can't wait, dude. Orange man bad. We'll get a load of this sack. Wait. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be great. And it's not even great in the sense, like, I don't even care about Republican side or whatever, but, like, it's great because he's actually, like, I feel like maybe he's going to turn around the whole political thing. Politicians all together.
Yeah.
All of them.
He's already turning them around. He's making them look really dumb because he's unscripted, whereas even Joe Biden has to have a teleprompter to answer written questions from a random person, quote unquote.
Yeah.
As the oldest person here, I'm assuming these are all pre-written questions. I do have a teleprompter in the
right. Exactly. It's like we're human beings that actually can have human being interactions. Whereas Biden literally has to have everything completely scripted 100%. Yeah. And Trump can go unscripted, like you said, kind of turning around
the man.
You know,
I mean,
even libertarians are like, Trump is actually decent.
I'm a libertarian. I didn't vote for Trump. I voted for Gary Johnson.
Yeah.
That's how libertarian I am.
I just want to hear you say Johnson again.
I didn't say Harry Johnson.
Okay. Well.
But literally, he made a peace deal in the Middle East, has been, as long as I can remember, that's been one of the cliches. Like,
That's always the thing, right? We're going to finish it. We're going to do it.
Middle East. Oh, piece yeah. As soon as drawing it out. You have a better chance of peace in the Middle East than Dayton. Uh-huh. You know, like, and he literally made it happen. And the other day, what did Pelosi call it? A distraction.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
How is a good thing like that a distraction? What you're doing, oh my gosh, I could go ham, but I can't, alas. She can. She can. Sorry.
I can. I don't know. You're used to the long hair. It's okay.
I know, dude. I am. It's gone. Get over it. The Goldilocks, man. It's gone. Get over it. You know, our listeners dropped a tiny bit when your hair was gone.
Really?
I don't think it has anything to do with that.
Hair prejudice.
No, it has to do with my absolute turd quality. I'm sorry, guys. So anyway, the consistency's there. Yeah, so we work at a car dealership, and the thing is with that, there just comes a lot of I don't know, a lot of stuff you may not know about, misconceptions or whatever. I've been thinking about doing a series on it, honestly.
There's tons of freaking misconceptions.
Whole series
about
on
the,
like
just the auto industry in general.
Yeah, there's gotta be, dude.
Yeah. We're all crooks.
Yeah.
We're all crooks.
So how did you get started, man? What did you want to do?
I grew up working on cars with my dad, obviously. Like when I was 11 or 12, he had tore down a small block 400. Like it just started there. He's just like, hey, you're going to learn about cars. Like I think it was fourth or fifth grade, we had to do a science project, and my science project was literally on how an internal combustion engine worked. Like, I'm on a dry race board. I'm like, yeah, and you got compression. And all the other kids in the class are just like, what the fuck is this kid talking about? Like, so I was always really kind of into it. Not necessarily like I thought cars were badass. I was just fascinated with how everything could work together. Like, it was just amazing that the way everything worked together could produce what it did, you know?
Yeah, it's the whole car. It's crazy. So, like, it's like all,
you know, yeah, it started really young. As I was growing up, you know, I had a hot rod truck. I had a big old jacked up Blazer. You know, I had all my toys when I was growing up. But I grew up in a family of mechanics and welders. And so I told them, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get out of high school. I'm just going to be a welder. I wanted to be a pilot, but they said I was too damn big. My eyes sucked. So I was like, well, fuck it. I'm not doing the military. I'm going to go be a welder. My mom's like, no, you can't grow up to be a welder. So I was like, well, I'll show you, Mom. And just go to tech school then.
Wait, hold on. Why? Why?
Because my dad was a welder.
And she didn't like it?
My grandpa was a welder and was just like, no, you got to do something else.
Wow. I mean, welders should make some money, you know?
Yeah. She just, I think she really wanted me. She meant it probably
a good way.
Best.
Yeah, yeah. I know. She wanted
to see me not necessarily be a blue collar person. Wanted me to be a doctor.
Oh, gotcha.
Or
gotcha. And
like
that's
that.
Why you were saying, I'll show
Go
you
to
tech
college,
school, right?
Yeah, and tech yeah. school. So then I do tech school, and tech school is. I went to UTI. UTI has a bad rap, but honestly, I got a lot out of UTI. It's one of those places where they'll pass anybody, but the effort you put in dictates what you get out of it.
Yeah, definitely.
So I can't complain. I really liked UTI.
Yeah.
While I was working at UTI, I worked at an independent shop, so it was kind of cool. I had a really awesome boss. Greg Bruce was his name, and this was in Houston. So it was like every month or every course – he would ask me, hey, what are you learning this month? I'd be like, well, I'm learning brakes. And he's like, okay, now you're doing brake jobs this month. Hmm. So he would do stuff hand in hand with what I was going to school for. Like he was
That's really cool.
Really good dude. He was great. He helped me a lot. I learned a lot with him. I learned almost as much from him as I did from tech school and the other guys I worked with in the shop. So then while I was in school, Classic came through interviewing people. And somebody was like, hey, we need to just fill some spots for this interview. It's for a BMW dealership. I was like, I don't give a shit about BMWs. I never really cared about BMWs. I mean, honestly, some people grow up loving BMWs. I didn't care.
I was the guy.
Yeah.
I was the nerd.
So I was like, sure, I'll go to this interview. There's other dudes in suits. I just show up in my work clothes, go into the interview. They find out I had experience with welding. I worked at a machine shop in high school. So I have all this welding, fabricating, machine shop experience. So like, man, you'd be great for a race team. Like, yeah, race team, I'm in.
Yeah, right. You sounds freaking dope.
Cool.
Boy, it was like 3 really hard years on the race team. You're gone like 3 weeks out of every month. It was just non-stop. It wore me out. So then I made the transition into the service side. Just kept working on BMWs. Moved to this, you know, the dealership we're at now was Marantz back then, and just been doing it for almost 15 years now. So.
Yeah, I mean, now you're a foreman and, like,
and even
you'd
that,
say, just, like, successful, I guess, you know.
My whole
it,
career
right?
has kind of just been surviving.
Like, yeah.
I survived through the race team, learned a lot, am in service now. Like, I just fell into a lot of the stuff I'm into.
Right.
Like, I didn't mean to be with BMW. I fell into it. I got tired of the race team, just kind of ended up in service.
Yeah,
moved to Maritz, survived long enough at Maritz, and did a good enough job.
And they're like, hey, you're a foreman now. Yeah. No, that makes sense. So, interesting, man.
It's kind of weird. My whole life career wasn't really anything I set out to do.
Well, okay. So speaking of that, like falling in and surviving and everything in dealerships, like, I don't know. The thing is that dealerships have a bad rap for a lot of things. But one of the things is like turnover rate. And apparently it's like a freaking thing. I didn't know how big of a thing it was.
Oh, yeah.
I've been definitely. To five dealerships. Now I know that. I guess it's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
I guess it's like 63% normally. I don't know. Whatever. Is it all the same? Like, has it always been the same?
Like I said,
since you got started? Like
I've been doing this 15 years. I've been at this location for 10, almost 11, it'll be 11 in March, and I've seen so many people come and go.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't always leave to go to other dealers. Most people leave...
To get out of it?
To get out of it. A lot of people, I mean...
And it's,
I know like four people just...
Like now, well, right?
Recently.
Yeah.
That have gotten out of it to go do something else.
I mean, you're thinking about it, and you're just like, how can one industry... And it stayed the same for so long.
It's a tough gig.
You know?
Like, and now you're on the other side of it. Advisor's a tough gig. Like, there's not a single job that isn't hard.
And yeah, that's dealership?
That's in not, the car business.
It's not.
Period, that's not playing a victim. Like, literally.
No, it's not.
Parts person. That's a pretty tough job.
Yeah.
You know? Advisor. That's a tough job. Tech. That's a tough job. Like, unless you're a car wash guy, it's all hard.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think it comes down to the fact that, like, no matter what position you're in, you're still relying and asking for things from the other departments. Like, everything has to work together,
very
right?
Very codependent.
And you know how hard it is to get, like, 200 people all to go, like, work together like that? You know what I mean? We're not all techie startup guys. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
You clash a lot.
Well,
you clash a lot. Like, I clash with parts.
It takes a strong leader to you know? Make sure everybody can meld properly.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what the thing is.
Knows what their duties are.
Almost every permission, or every position is commission based. Well, I almost said permission based. Almost every position is commission based, like 100% commission based. So you end up inherently breeding a lot of competition and aggression because every single person is almost working by
themselves. Out for themselves. Right. They're out for themselves. You know what I mean? If I go into a restaurant and I'm a server and I'm getting tips, I don't have to worry about the next server next to me. I'm worried about my tables only,
right?
And it's okay.
Yeah.
It's fine. No one is getting mad at me for being worried about my own stuff. But at a dealer, you could be worried about your own things, but you also have to be able to be a team player all the time, and that's where it gets difficult.
Yeah, I mean, like in the shop side, Matt understands this. You could have one part not get ordered. You know, one part that's wrong. It can literally ruin your entire day.
Yeah.
It can literally be the difference between flagging half an hour or flagging 15 hours.
Right.
Based purely on, one part either being here or not.
Yeah, and that's all your pay, And then you're done, right? You're ruined. And, I mean, clients don't know that necessarily, right?
No.
They don't know any of that. They have no idea.
What the client doesn't know is really good and also really bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they don't know we're commission-based.
Yeah.
I've actually been telling customers, like, hey,
they're often surprised.
Yeah, I'm like,
but it's good because then oftentimes customers will think we're just trying to take advantage of them if we're commission based. Like, oh, you're basically just a salesman then.
Right.
Yeah.
Which.
But I feel like they already, because of the reputation of dealerships, like they already do that.
Yeah.
Because half of them will come in like they're walking into a dentist office, they're already mad.
Yeah.
They already are upset.
I mean,
they're not happy.
It's also
here.
Because their car is broken too.
Maybe that's just the car's broken thing.
It's funny you mention the dentist because there's such a weird attitude towards dealerships versus like the medical field. So you can go to my wife had to get a root canal done like 3 times.
Yeah,
because the dentist kept botching it, and she had to pay like all 3 times. Or how many times people go to the doctor and it's like, well, we think it's this, we're going to put you on this medication and try it.
No one
like,
bats an eye.
Okay, nobody cares. But you come into the dealership and we forget to reset your light after you're doing $50 oil change, and it's like, oh, you're crooks. You didn't do my oil change. You're a piece of shit.
Did you even do it?
Exactly.
Yeah. That does happen, and that's what I'm talking about. even if they knew or didn't know we were commission based or not, they still already have this predisposition that we are crooks and we're going to do that or something.
I think it's also
like
because a lot of people don't recognize the value that a dealership offers as opposed to a mom and pop shop or a smaller.
Yeah, they have no idea. Like, humans will still mess up and humans will still make mistakes no matter what. That's the reason the dealership's there. It's the facilities, it's the things we offer on top of just the normal people that matter, right? Like the valet service or any of the stuff we offer. It doesn't matter, whatever. Anything we offer. So that makes sense. I think it'd be better if people actually did understand that we were all commission based. That would help. I've had customers ask me, like, oh, does it matter? You know, I just went to him because I didn't know where you were at. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. But it was a job that I'd like previously sold the last time they were here or whatever, right? And I'm like, well, dang, that sucks. You know, whatever. I can't do anything about it. I'm not going to tell him, no, don't go to him. Come to me because there's no reason not to go to him because he's a good advisor too, right? I've been actually saying, hey, you know, it's kind of like restaurants, right? So I've been actually comparing them to that. I'm like, I'm a server. I do get paid for the things I do for specific customers. They've been okay with it so far.
It's almost like the bigger your meal, the bigger your tip is going
to
be.
And I've got it. And I think it's time. Yeah. I think it's time to re-educate the client. I'll be honest. It's time to re-educate the customer.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the auto industry is changing rapidly. So the customer needs to be aware of the changes that are being made.
I was under the impression that the auto industry is, like, on its way out. Dying, right? Not like that. I don't mean, like, completely gone or anything. But I mean, like, mom-and-pop shops and independents are starting to finally compete with dealerships in a way of having facilities and everything.
Yeah. The thing is, they used to – I feel like they used to compete a lot because – but before – the financial crisis of 2008, you know, a lot of those small businesses got crushed. And then COVID's happening. A lot of other small businesses are getting crushed because of it. And the big conglomerates or the bigger, you know, Amazon.
Seems like a little bit of a pattern here.
Weird, huh? Weird how it works out. The corporations always win, huh? Weird how that works out.
Yeah, that works.
Interesting. Holy crap.
Yeah. Special interest lobbying.
Yeah.
It's a good thing we don't work for a multi-billion dollar corporation.
Yeah, right?
Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah, sorry.
Investment group.
Yeah, dude. That is so crazy, man. Another thing people don't know is that they were franchised, you know? They think all dealerships are connected, you know what I mean? I've got one client that thinks that we're going to pay for something that BMW Dallas did or something like that. Like, no, that doesn't happen.
Me and Antares got our faces chewed off by an angry customer who couldn't understand that we're not BMW. And he kept saying, like, well, y'all made the car, y'all produced the product, y'all are responsible. It's like, no, we did not.
Wow. We're not actually.
We sell
way removed
and service the product.
Right.
I had nothing to do with the engineering of this.
Right.
I had nothing to do with the manufacturing.
Like, I don't even speak German. Like,
like, while we're advocates for BMWs, obviously we like the product slightly or whatever. Yeah. But like, yeah, you're right. We're not the guys. We didn't do it. It's similar to a franchise, but the law is you can't actually sell a car directly from your company. Like, BMW cannot directly sell a car. So they had to have a middleman, and we're the middleman, right? The middleman doesn't have to be owned by BMW.
But everybody
it's not owned by BMW. Yeah, it's not going
to
be.
And you deal with customers and be like, well, y'all did this to my car. And it's like, well, I don't see any history. And it's like, well, it was the one in Dallas. It's like, okay, well, that's not us.
Right.
We didn't do that. They did it.
Sure.
We're not the same.
And while we're not, like, I'm never really blaming other dealerships either. Like, whatever. Everyone makes mistakes. You know what I mean? People might think that too. Well, I'm not going to bad about the dealership. It doesn't matter. I'm just telling you that that's how it is. No. The only company that's ever actually been able to pull off the whole like direct to consumer thing kind of is Tesla. And even then they have dealers. But I've wondered, like they have little like shops or whatever, but they're still owned by Tesla. I don't know how they got around all of that. You know what I mean?
I am currently making a lot of money off of Tesla stocks right now, so
there you go.
Love me some Elon Musk.
No, I know he's a genius in what he does. It's just like
can't wait to see what that million mile battery looks like in September or the 22nd. I think it comes out.
Oh really?
Yeah, they're coming out with it.
Oh wow,
they're insane, man. He'll probably delay it a few months and then a few months again, but it'll come out at some point. he does that all the time. I just think that I don't know how we got around it. That's what I'm saying. Like he got around the law or whatever.
I mean, those little stores could be
a franchise.
Could be franchise.
Maybe that's it. But like Texas,
it's got to go through.
Well, because he also has SpaceX and other things. He maybe just like made another freaking company, maybe called it Tesla Storefront or something. You know, and then put it over there. He could have done that, I guess. I guess, yeah, he could have done that. It's crazy, man. Because Texas was the biggest one that he was having trouble with, I thought.
Well, and there may be some kind of special rules for the purely electric vehicles.
Isn't he now moving down here?
A lot of... I think...
Who's moving? Tesla's moving, right?
Joe Rogan is, and I would say...
Like a factory.
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, Joe Rogan moved to Austin, and then the Gigafactory is moving to Texas.
Ben Shapiro, do you see that?
Yeah, he's moving to Nashville.
Yeah, moved to Nashville.
I just heard that today. Good for him.
Yes, I'm super happy.
Get the heck out of California, right?
He's been in California his whole life. Like, he's
really?
Been a major
California.
Yeah,
he was born in California.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Raised
like,
in
you're
LA,
talking about all these people that actually give California a little bit of money and
lots
fame
of money.
And
lots.
Ben Shapiro said tens of millions of dollars in revenue is what the Daily Wire makes.
What?
75 employees.
He told people. I love how like transparent
he is. It's pretty vague, tens of millions of dollars.
Well, that is vague.
That's a lot of tax revenue that's gone. Instantly just whoop.
I really love his cheesy little threats when he's talking about the whatever the hiring company is. He's always talking
Zip
say you have an executive producer who can't book a guest properly. Like,
oh my gosh, he does that?
And he does like, so funny. Like, we might be able to find a new one on ZipRecruiter.
Yeah.
That's super funny.
ZipRecruiter, yeah. It's pretty funny. It's nerdy funny, but
I haven't gotten to the point where I need to worry about that yet, obviously. But also like I don't know how to even gauge that. What do? You know, what's good on a podcast and what's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've played a couple like songs in the background, and it's like copyright.
All my favorite podcasts are from Australia. So,
are you serious?
I actually listen to a lot of podcasts.
What?
Yeah.
Except for the Toasty podcast,
I've
right?
I've been listening to some of y'all's stuff. I started listening to some of it.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it's on Spotify.
Yeah. Dude, we're on the up and up, man. We're going. We're doing it.
Every
I don't
platform
like,
we can be on.
You're
pretty
right.
Much.
And I honestly, like a lot of people are starting to not like Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
People are actually moving away from it. I'm not going to. There's no
I'm a YouTube kind of guy.
It's just like,
Sierra's all over Spotify.
You're the only person. See, that's what I don't understand. I told you, I don't want to be on YouTube. There's no reason to do YouTube. That's stupid. And then you're like, nah, dude, I listen to podcasts on YouTube.
I'm a creature of habit and creature of consistency.
Yeah.
And I've been on YouTube since like the beginning, since like 07. I've had like a YouTube account and been watching all the stupid. Because when I was in middle school, that was the thing, is to watch stupid videos on the internet, and they were all in these different dumb websites.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
and
you're
then when
right.
YouTube came out,
like,
I was like, oh, it's all in one place. I don't have to go anywhere else.
That's a good point.
I mean, I was an ultra nerd, so.
I'm like a music guy, right? So it was always Spotify
from the
beginning.
I'm an old piece of shit. We didn't watch YouTube videos in middle school.
I was going to say.
There wasn't no YouTube.
Yeah, it was like bonfires and stuff, right?
Yeah, totally. But
I'll just say probably lighting stuff on fire.
I listen to Ben Shapiro and Crowder on YouTube. I have the Mug Club, so I have to switch over after a while, but that's because...
The Mug Club?
It's Crowder's like paid service.
Oh.
His subscription service.
But the problem is you have to do it through the Blaze TV app, and
yeah.
It doesn't do like background play. So like,
oh man,
if you exit out of it on your phone to do something else, it stops it. So I'll watch the first half of it on YouTube, and then later watch the last half on my phone because while I'm at work, I can't.
So that is the downside of YouTube. Like you can pay for YouTube to have it in the background.
I don't
right?
pay for it.
Spotify's video platform now you can do it in the background, but of course people already pay for Spotify. But they've said already their podcasting side will be free.
And I mean, you can link to people's accounts too, kind of like Netflix.
Yeah, so. And like I'm linked too, man. I got my buddy over here that's actually paying for a family plan, and I just added on to that. It's easier, you know. I pay him in beer or money, you know, whatever it is. So that works.
But yeah, I've got there.
It'd be sweet if we could get on that, but
there's some really the Australian ones are really good.
Yeah,
not like about Australia, like the ones the Weekly Planet. All they talk about is just
the Weekly Planet.
It's just movies and pop culture.
Shout out to the Weekly Planet.
They're actually in
movies
really
and pop
popular.
Culture.
Like they're
so they just like get on and talk about conversation
it's
or whatever
two
about
two guys, and they sometimes have guests, but it's like they do a little bit of news involving you know movies, comic book stuff like that. Then a lot of times they'll do a review of like a show or a movie, something like that, and they kind of but it's very funny. And it's just pop culture. Then the other
I mean,
just like book reports, but it's
book reports.
It's hard to explain. You'd have to listen to it.
Is that like book
that's
club
everyone
or?
Ever like with a podcast? Hard to explain. Listen to it, okay? Unless you say Joe Rogan, they're like, oh, I know what that is. You know, everyone.
Well,
knows.
Yeah, Joe Rogan's
Pierre, oh,
also
is.
Really easy to explain. I mean, Joe Rogan's like
conversations with awesome guests,
famous people,
famous people.
Or, awesome guests is a better way to describe
Miley
it.
Cyrus. That was a good one. Anyway,
I didn't see that. When was that?
That was recently. Yeah, that was whenever he got on Spotify. He was like one of the first videos he had after the Adam Curry, I think it was. The guy that created, huh? I thought it was Curry, like the one that created podcasts.
Oh.
He's the first guy. He like his idea was podcasts.
Sounds like Adam Carolla.
Carolla?
Yeah.
Let's see. Hold on.
Was it I mean he's a podcasting pioneer, dude.
Carolla's a probably know cool that. Dude.
Tom yeah, Green. You sure know that. Tom Green is also a podcasting pioneer.
Hold on, dude. Let's look at this.
I used to watch The Man Show. Well, I used to
The Man Show.
Have to go over to my grandma's house cuz she was the only person that had cable at the time.
Oh
I
my
knew.
Gosh,
and
dude.
I used to try to watch The Man Show at her house.
Grandma,
on cable.
Will you make me cookies? She's yeah. like, I'm done with the cookies. Can you make me more cookies? I'm watching a very special
okay,
show.
And
I
so,
would listen to Adam Carolla on Loveline with Dr. Drew at night on the radio.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm old.
I don't even know what that is.
It was a radio show. It was basically a podcast. It would be like an hour and a half of him. And Dr. Drew's like the famous Hollywood mm-hmm, doctor now. Mm-hmm. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew would field calls and answer questions.
Okay, maybe
it was
it's
about an hour and a half, and wow. it was awesome.
That sounds really cool.
It was
maybe
really
it's
cool.
not, man.
Dr. Drew's an interesting guy.
Adam Curry right here. That's not it, though, I don't think. Let me keep going here. Duncan Trussell, that was the one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because it was the second one. Yeah, Duncan. Yeah, Duncan Trussell was the first one he did on.
Yeah, exactly.
On his video Spotify side, right? But no, that's not it. He's a stand-up freaking comedian. I don't know what I'm freaking talking about, dude. Adam Carolla is the guy that we said.
Adam Carolla has been around for
Let's search. Adam, you know what? Let me just do this. Inventor.
All the listeners, he is typing on his keyboard right now.
Sorry. Yeah, Adam Curry. Dude, I knew it. Adam Curry and Dave Weiner are credited with the invention of podcasting.
Sounds like some nerds.
Dave Weiner. I don't know what you would say, but I'm just saying, dude, this guy is a genius, brother. Brother
does
Bear.
He get any money from, like, does
what
he
do you
make
mean?
Money from it? Like, how do you
inventing podcasts? No, because he's a nice dude and he made
but
open
would,
source.
How would
right?
you make money on it? You'd have to
because you
a
have the best podcast.
Podcasting.
His podcast is called No Agenda, and it's like one of the first podcasts that was literally like this.
But that's
one.
All he would get his money from.
Whatever.
From that. It's like Dr. J invented basketball. He doesn't get billions. You know, his family doesn't make a lot of money from the NBA.
That sucks.
But yeah, but you make so much money from sponsors and everything else, you just invest it, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's like
you're smart enough for that, I guess.
It's like the dude who invented YouTube. Now there you go, because he invented the platform. So the guy who invented
podcasting. So he just invented podcasting. He didn't invent Spotify. He didn't invent Apple Podcasts or anything else. But like,
is he really profiting?
Well, I want to donate to the guy then. Damn, you're making me feel bad about it. Bad for him.
Like,
he should make money.
It's an idea. How do you really?
Oh no, I get it. I get what you're saying. It's like I don't know. You know what was the. I don't know if he created a platform.
You
or
can't
not.
Like
I don't think
patent
exactly without that. Without controlling
the process
the platform for it.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, I agree, man. Wow,
was it worth it?
Yes.
Let's ask him. Hey, Adam Curry, you know, was it worth creating podcasts? Did you ever stumble upon the show? Which, whatever.
I mean, if they make a movie based off of him, he'd have to sell his likeness, and then he'd be making money.
He's known for a stint as a VJ on MTV and being one of the first celebrities personally to create and administer websites. So that's what he's actually known for, I guess.
I imagine his No Agenda podcast.
Announcer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bro, dude, guaranteed. Let's look that up. No Agenda. You notice how I like bashed YouTube and then I'm looking everything up on YouTube.
Yeah.
My bad. 1277. But it only has 1,600 views, dude.
Maybe
on not. YouTube, of course, but I'm just saying.
I just,
dude.
Like Joe Rogan. Mm. That was the Fear Factor guy for a while.
Yeah.
Like, Joe Rogan.
So crazy how far he's
so
come.
Many,
much money.
Yeah, he does so much stuff, man.
Yeah.
But that one I listened to, The Weekly Planet, the one dude was a teacher, and he quit teaching and started doing podcasts, and now he's, I don't know, I'm assuming he's a millionaire.
Hmm. He should be banking, right?
He's got a whole... broadcast kind of network that's like there's like 10 podcasts
that is what I'm talking about podcast freaking conglomerate
like he's
dude
super popular like
yeah
it's crazy
That's kind of a goal here, man. That's a goal for me, of course. Of course it is.
Yeah.
Can't quit the job yet because, you know, $0. But soon, very soon, right? Patreon. Actually, guys, support us on Patreon. It's actually patreon.com/toastypodcast. You can donate $5 a month. That's all we ask is the minimum. And from there, you get exclusive content. This whole interview will not be available to everyone. It'll only be available to you. So there's the little plug.
Nice. Well done.
There was a very well executed wink.
I just, you know, tried, you know, whatever.
No, it was good. It was like, it was natural. I didn't know you were going to do that. And then boom, it just started happening. I was like, we're doing it.
Because you mentioned Patreon.
Yeah.
You know what the best thing about that is? When you're podcasting, you're just talking, doing whatever the heck you want to do. And then as soon as something's mentioned where you're like, oh, that's it. Boom, done.
It clicks.
Blah, blah, blah. You can mention whatever you want. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we go back to dealerships?
You want to? What do you have to say?
I was going
to
say something.
Give me a beer, though. Toasty.